Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Good morning and welcome again to another episode of Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Classes once again. I am Christy Bemis and I'm so excited to be here with you again today. And some of you may know me through reading my book that I co-authored with Anne, and it's called Ignite Your Life, and you can find it at www.hotpinkyou.com as well as on Amazon. And some of you may know me as a speaker, a psychotherapist, and I like to call myself an Ignite Your Life coach because we all need a little ignition in our life. I'm also the co-founder and solo owner at this point of Hot Pink University, and recently I launched this series of life classes on a variety of topics to ignite your life. You can find me at my website at www.hotpinkyou.com or on Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. You're always going to be inspired. I'm always going to have things to create some passion, some purpose, and some play in your life. And today I'm excited to be talking about a topic that's super important, and it's regarding control freak behavior. And you are in the right place if you struggle with control in your life. And you're in the right place if you're feeling a sense of overwhelm. You're in the right place if you're feeling a sense of overwhelming triggering in your life, frustration, anger, or out of control. And you're in the right place also if you're feeling a sense of depression or a sense of feeling pessimistic hopelessness. Maybe you're feeling a little defeated lately or a sense of shame and guilt. If that is the case, you are in the right place because I'm going to be going through my own model around the quadrants of control that I developed over the course of my life and have been launching it over the past couple of years. And so I spoke recently about this at the Dream Bank here in Madison during COVID and really got a great response from people. It's really changed women's lives across a lot of different areas where generally we're just feeling like a sense of complete loss and overwhelm in life sometimes. So I want you to think of Hot Pink University life classes as things you wish you would have known much sooner in your life and what women need to know but were not necessarily taught in school. So get a journal, get a pen. We're going to be taking lots of notes. I'm going to be stopping and pausing so that you can really dive in deep to this topic around control. It causes a lot of stress in your life. And it causes a ton of disconnect. And today we're going to be talking about the why it causes all of that in our life. So welcome and enjoy our topic today. So I want you to think about what control means to you and what are some of the ways that you have some controlling behavior in life. When I think across my life, time, and I think about the times where I try to control various aspects. I think about times when I've taken over in my relationship the wheel around finances, where I controlled what was coming in, I controlled balancing the checkbook, I controlled aspects of like what went out and how we spent our money, and all of those aspects in my life. Other areas of control really have come forward in my life around parenting, you know, where we get in these intense power struggles across the ages from little, middle to big kids to adults. you know, children, parenting of our children, and different times where I felt just totally helpless and out of control in those situations. And you know why? Because I wasn't ever truly in control of my kids or my relationship. And I tried controlling different aspects of maybe other people or situations, whether it's at home or at work. And every single time I have tried to control things that were not within my control, the ultimate feeling that I've created in myself, and maybe some of you can relate to this, is a sense of anger or a sense of frustration. And really, in my time of trying to control various aspects of my life, whether it's in money, relationships, what other people are doing in their lives, parenting, I have felt more out of control than at any other time in my life. So if you are feeling a control freak used by somebody in your life who cares very deeply for you of controlling them, this episode is really for you, because the more you try to control another person or a situation, the less control you really end up having. And I'm going to give you some tools today. This is the first in a four-part series of the Quadrants of Control. It's an overview of my model of the Quadrants of Control. And then in the next two or three episodes, I'll be going through actual tools and techniques for each of the quadrants so that you can really get a sense in your own life of how they play out. And you'll leave these episodes in the next couple weeks with actual, I want you to list those things in your life that you feel you have control over. It's a list of things that you control. And so I want you to seriously think about what you do actually have control over. And I'm going to take a pause for a minute while you dive in a little bit. And so timing it for 1 minute of a pause, what do you have control over? You have about 15 seconds left to finish your thoughts. Maybe writing down on a piece of paper what you have control over. All right, well done. I want you to take a look over your list as I list off what I feel we as women have control over in our lives. We definitely have control over our actions and how we choose to react or respond to different things. And in a course that I'm creating around emotional literacy for women, I really dive in deep to what is the difference between reaction and response? Reaction is something that you do when you're feeling emotionally triggered. A response is something that you do, a delayed action that you take when you're feeling emotionally triggered. It's more well thought out, and it's less based on the emotion, and it's much more based on your plan. The plan that you have in place when you're feeling triggered, or some tools and skills for acting in a way that feels good. An example of this would be, I have a rule for myself. I do not respond emotionally to a text or an email. I don't react emotionally to a text or an email. What I do is I wait 24 hours, even if I type off a response. I come back to it at least the next day, if not longer, depending upon how much time I need, and I choose the best way to respond. I actually, in the course that I'm teaching, have four questions that I ask myself before I respond to something when I'm feeling triggered. And so, so we're responsible. We're in control. We are in control. Even though it feels sometimes like we are not, we are in control of our reactions and our responses. We're also in control of our feelings. And sometimes I know it feels like we are not. And sometimes there is a chemical imbalance. Sometimes there are hormones at work. A lot of times I don't feel in control when I'm feeling hangry. I have a huge hangry response if I haven't had enough to eat. And so there are times in life where it feels like we don't have control of our feelings. But I certainly have control over whether I allowed myself to, you know, get to the point of hungry and angry, and how I take care of myself, right? So we actually do have control over our feelings, and we actually have control over if we are having a difficult time with hormones or with our chemical imbalance that day. We actually can do some things in our life to turn that switch around, to feel a different feeling than what we're feeling currently. We definitely have control over our thoughts and what we think. And I'm reading some great material right now. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard of her, is Byron Katie, and material around questioning your thoughts. And she really talks a lot about vanity is the unquestioned thoughts. And the more that you can question your thoughts and decide whether they're true or they're accurate or they're really serving you, the more in control you feel of your life. The less you question your thoughts and you say to yourself, I think it, therefore it's true, the worse off you're going to be. And so it's really about controlling your thoughts and really diving into them and deciding whether or not they're serving you. And yes, you do have control over your thoughts. You also have control over your belief system. And I look at beliefs, and I teach this in my emotional literacy course for women. You also have a belief system that operates like sunglasses looking out into the world. And your belief system is really created by your experiences, by your core values and guiding principles that you live by in life. And your belief system is created by those people that you surround yourself with. And so you need to really choose wisely, right? Your belief system is created also by how you were raised and where you grew up and your culture, and all those things create your sunglasses looking out in the world. And you and I can actually see the exact same experience and really be watching it. And we will have two incredibly different potentially interpretations of that experience. That's how powerful beliefs are. And so, again, in my emotional literacy course for women, I dive into those beliefs, because the most powerful work you can do to create happiness and well-being in your life is to take a look at your beliefs and question them. And you do have control over them. They do change over time. And the example I often use with people is, think about something you believed in as a little kid and you no longer believe in it. And it was all based on your perception. And a lot of times people will say, if they celebrate the holiday of Christmas, Santa Claus, and how magical that time of the year is to a child who believes in Santa Claus and the magic of Santa. But Christmas still has magic when you discover that Santa is not real, right? It still has the same beautiful magic. It's just not quite as mysterious, and like the noises you hear at night aren't, you know, interpreted as Santa's sleigh on the rooftop. That's how powerful beliefs are, though. When you believe in it, every noise becomes an imagination of what it could be. And when you no longer believe in it, the noises are just snow plopping down on the rooftop. That's the power of beliefs, and they can change over time. So the example is, beliefs can change over time. You do have control over them. So great job. Thing on the list that I didn't name, which is, you know, not in the category of your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings, or your actions and reactions, your responses and reactions. You actually don't have control over it. You don't. And so if there's something on your list, I want you to put a big cross through it, because you might have thought you had control over it and you don't. So there's things like, I have control over my health. I have control over whether I got up this morning and I went for a run or not. I didn't, by the way. I ended up enjoying my coffee and journaling instead, and I'll go for a run later on today. But I have control over that. I have control over whether I am healthy or not, the choices of what I consume, what I put in my body. So why do we control? Where does this come from? And I always have a lot of compassion for people that are controlling, men and women alike. There's just a lot of compassion there because all control, if you whittle it down, is really fear-based. It's a person trying to line up people or situations in such a way that they don't, nothing bad will happen. Be very purposeful and well-intended, right? And the outcome will be exactly what they desire it to be. And control comes a lot of times from anxiety and the feeling of anxiousness in our body. And when that feeling comes, it's so uncomfortable for some people that by controlling something in their life, they feel a resolution in the anxiety. I control what you wear as you walk out the door. Therefore, I feel a resolution in my anxiety, in my body, that all will be okay and you'll be safe and you won't, you know, attract attention other than my attention, right? Because then if you attract attention other than my attention, what if you leave me, right? So all control comes out of anxiety. All control comes out of that fear of wanting to control the outcome. And it's highly based on expectations. And I always talk to women about expectations are the core foundation of anything that's stressing you out. So if you're feeling stressed in life, whittle it down to what is the expectation you had. All right. And so I think about this when I work with clients in my psychotherapy practice, and they are so connected to the outcome or what something should look like, you know, that they went into like maybe a family gathering and they had this whole thing played out, this whole expectation, this whole scene of how everything should appear and look played out in their mind. And when it didn't go the way that they wanted, they became very controlling or they became very stressed out. All stress whittled down is expectation. And if we release our expectation, I know it's easier said than done, but if we release our expectations over a situation or an outcome, then that is truly the freedom that we're seeking in our life. And controlling behavior comes from unmet needs or unmet wants. And people that are controlling you, when you're controlling, feel that there's no other way to get that need or that desire or that want met. So when I controlled all the money in my relationship, it was for the benefit of my relationship or my family, right? I felt that at the time, if I controlled all of the money in the relationship, and it was over the course of a handful of years, right? Not at my entire relationship, but a handful of years of it. Then nothing bad would happen because some things bad had happened. There was a point in time when a vehicle went kaput and it was done and there was no money saved up. So I felt that I will never allow that to happen again, right? If I control all aspects of the comings and goings of our money, then I can control whether or not that worst case scenario would happen again. The problem was that's not real. Like that's not real. And still bad things continue to happen. Still, you know, situations continue to occur that were uncomfortable, right? Financially. And so the illusion of control is not there. And here's what happens with controlling things. It pushes people away. The downside of control is this. It pushes people away. When you think it's leading to connection, it's actually leading to disconnection. It perpetuates fear. It doesn't take care of fear. Fear doesn't go away because you control. It actually makes more fear. And the more controlling you become, the more controlling you become. So I control the aspects of money Next, I'm going to control the aspects of movement of my kids and decisions that they make. And next, I'm going to start controlling maybe aspects of my partner and decisions that he is making or she is making in, in jobs or whatever. And that is a very slippery slope because more control leads to more control leads to more control. And it actually perpetuates the fear. When we control other people, it actually robs them of their own opportunity to learn. So when I was controlling aspects of our finances, I was robbing my partner with the ability to learn how to manage his own money at the time. And it really didn't take care of the problem or the situation of his ability to manage money. It just delayed the problem or created really manipulative behavior on his part in order to get access to his own money, right? So we actually create disconnect and manipulation in our relationships. And controlling does not keep the peace. I think we think controlling keeps the peace in our lives. What it actually does is it disrupts. It disrupts more than it creates peace. And it creates, especially with our children and our partners in our life, or even colleagues at work, it creates more power struggles. And so now we're in a tangle of not really being curious with one another or connected with one another or really truly knowing one another, but we're in this absolute power struggle. So I want you to think through your list of things that you thought in the beginning of this time together that you controlled. And what power struggles have you created in your life? Take a look over that list and think back through time the power struggles that you created in your life through trying to control. And I want you to think about, did it deepen your connection with the other person or did it separate? What were the ramifications? When you're done with our time together today, journal a little bit about that, what it created for you, okay? I want you to take one more minute now. I'm going to pause, and I want you to write down all the things in your life that you're starting to recognize you don't have control over. So I'm going to take a pause and take a hopefully you're writing down all the things you don't have control over. And you have about 20 more seconds to go. Finish your thoughts with that. And the next thing I want you to do on your paper, or if you don't have a paper in front of you, visualize this. I want you to visualize four quadrants. So quadrants are, you know, if you have a square, you've divided that square in half along the vertical and in half along the horizontal. So you end up with four boxes and on top. And on the top of the quadrants, the first row is going to be called what I have control over. Okay? The second row is going to be called what I don't have control over. And recall the two lists you just made, the one you have control over, the one you don't have control over. In the columns that are going along this quadrant, the top column is going to be called taking action. The bottom column is going to be called not taking action. And what I want you to do is going clockwise from that first column, that's control and taking action. That's number one. Put a number one in that box. Going around the clock in the column that is action, I'm taking action, and I don't have control over this. That's two. Going around the clock in a circle almost, in these squares. The next one, the bottom right-hand corner is number 4. It's the box where we don't have control over things and we're not taking action. And then in the last one, as we go around the clock, in the bottom left-hand corner is number 3. It's where we have control over something and we're taking no action. This is going to be super important as we move through this, the remainder of this episode, but also future episodes. Here's what I want you to think about. When I have control over something, my health, quadrant number 1, and I take action on it, feelings I create for myself are a sense of accomplishment, pride, happy, and healthy. When I get up in the morning and I have control over whether or not I put my running shoes on and I go out the door, and I take action on that, that's how I want to feel. I want to feel accomplished, pride, happy, healthy. When I control my reactions and I don't shoot off a nasty email to somebody and create disconnect in trying to control the situation that I have absolutely, you know, no control over. But when I don't and I take 24 hours and I have control over that reaction and I shoot it off and it's legible and it sounds more intelligent and it's not emotion-based, I feel a sense of accomplishment, pride, happy, healthy. That's quadrant 1. When I have no control over something and I take action on it, this is quadrant 2. And I think about controlling money, how angry, how frustrated, how triggered, how out of control I was, that I want you to write in that quadrant 2. Angry, frustrated, triggered, out of control. So the feelings we wrote in quadrant 1, the things we have control over and we act on, accomplished, pride, happy, healthy. In quadrant 2, the feelings are angry, frustrated, triggered, out of control. Now we're going to move to quadrant 3, not around the clock, but lower left-hand corner. This is stuff we have control over when we don't act. I don't get up. I don't put my shoes on. I sleep in. Maybe I drink too much the night before, right? Even though I have control over how much I drink. I wake up feeling depressed, pessimistic, hopeless, defeated, shame, and guilt. Write those feelings in that quadrant. Depressed, pessimistic, hopeless, defeated, shame, and guilt. Next, we're going to move to quadrant 4, which is that I don't have control over it, and I don't act. This is a hard quadrant for people, right? This is, though, the quadrant where you feel a sense of release, where you let go, you surrender actively with full heart, and you feel a sense of peace. This is a quadrant that's hard to focus on because we want to control things that we have no business controlling. And these are the quadrants we're going to focus on. So join me over the next 2 episodes, next week and the week after, where we dive into these 4 quadrants. And I'll share the secret tools that I have created to really help get you out of the control freak and back into feeling a sense of peace in your life. I want to thank you so much for coming today. It has been my pleasure to support you in this Hot Pink University Life class. And as always, follow me at www.hotpinkyou.com to find inspiration. And join my email list. Right now I have a great free gift for you, a 5-day pleasure challenge. If you want to find control in your life, find it through pleasure. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you next week where we dive into the model of the 4 quadrants of control. Be well.